Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And we're on page 783. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Clicker. Good morning, everyone. Oh, I got this one. Why am I talking into here? Good to see you all. Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. I've heard them all, but it's a special day today. Well, every Sunday is a special day, to be honest, but today is just a little bit more special than normal. It's the birth of Jesus, so we're going to be celebrating that today. Are you excited for today's message? Yes? Yeah. Are you excited for today's message? Thank you. Okay. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1, and this isn't the day that Jesus was born. This is 9 months before, and the reason we're looking at that is because you have an angel or a couple of angels. The Bible doesn't say, definitely angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, but also an angel, and it's in our passage, talking to Joseph in a dream. And I want to listen. It's good for us to listen what these angels have to say, because these angels talk about Jesus. So what we're going to be looking at today is who is born. I know we already know the answer to that, but we can reflect on it and have a look a little bit deeper on who is actually born and the significance of this birth. So we're going to start off with verses, if you have your Bibles opened. Chapter 1, we'll start with 18 to 21. This is the context of our passage, and then we'll look through it for there. So go to 18 to 21. If you don't have it, I'll put it up there for you. Before we start, I can't say anything without God's help. So let me just pray. Father, let your words come out of my mouth, not mine, but yours. Amen. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Let's stop there. Pledged to be married to Joseph. We think about the word engaged, don't we? When we meet someone, we get engaged and then we get married. The word in the Bible in the Old Testament time and New Testament time was betrothed, betrothal. It was a little bit different because it was legally married. If you have a look at verse 19, it said Joseph, her husband. It was actually a legal document that they signed that was, they said, they're married, but it's not quite there yet. There's no, in verse 25, they don't have any union. So they're married, but they're not quite married, which means that if something happened, they'd have to file for a divorce. Today, if we're engaged, do you have to file for a divorce? Or you can just say, it's over, which happens many times. So it's a little bit different. So they are engaged. Now let's go to the next verse. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'll be turning back to the book of Luke because the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary. And Luke 1:26-38, the angel Gabriel says, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. So this has happened. If we go to verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law or a righteous man, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Do you think he believed her? Imagine that happened. Your wife comes up to you, I'm pregnant. God's the father. Who's going to believe that? Let alone the community around. So because he was a righteous man and he knew the law really well, I'm sure he knew Deuteronomy 22, which talks about death to those committing adultery for both parties. Now, obviously, in this case, there's only one party, and that's Mary. So he wanted to spare her life. So he thought, as a good husband, I'm going to divorce her quietly, whatever that means, and not give her up to public disgrace. So the whole community is, sorry, this is falling off my ear. So the whole community wouldn't think bad of Mary. But if we look at verse 20, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. So he is now convinced, and he goes with the process of marrying Mary. So that's our context. I want to look at four words. And our title is, Who is Born? And I want to have it four words. First one, Jesus. Second one, Christ. Third one, sins. And last one, Emmanuel. So, which one do we start first with? Aaron, what do you think? You don't start with number four, you start with one. Jesus. So we see Jesus as the first one. So we're going to have a look at that. Here's the verse we're going to be looking at. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. Also in Luke, as I said, there's a parallel gospel, Luke 1:31. The Gabriel talking to Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son and you are to call him Jesus. Both times to Mary and Joseph, emphatic, call him Jesus. Now I'm going to be, because it's Christmas time, we can be a little bit interactive today. Is that okay? I want you to talk to the person next to you and talk about if you know your own name, does it have significance or does it have meaning? So I'll give you just like 30 seconds to talk to the person next to you about your own name. You can. Hey, that's enough. Got a lot of questions. Okay, now you thought about that, something a little bit harder. Talk to the person next to you. What does Jesus mean? Oh, now you're quiet. Talk to the person and try to see if you know what Jesus means. Sorry. So Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, all the same. What does it mean? Yahweh saves. Yahweh rescues. Yahweh delivers. Yahweh is God. So God saves, God rescues, God delivers. But the proper and correct translation is the Lord is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation. Next question, what is salvation? Talk to the person next to you. What is salvation? Stop it. Good. Okay. In England, there was this car about to be thrown in the bin. 1939 Volkswagen buggy. Been sitting in the rain for years and years and years. And some guy came along and he said, "Can I have it?" Put it in his truck. Would you ever want that? Callum, do you want that? No? But have a look at the engine. The engine's even better. And he said, "Can I have it?" And what did he do? He began to salvage it. He began to paint it, change the parts, fix it up. Richard, you're smiling. You like it, don't you? And that's what it ended up. It ended up in a museum. Priceless. Because it was rare, the 1939 one. Is it? So what's the point of these pictures? This car was salvaged. This car was dead, was ruined, was harmed, and it was fixed and came out brand new, priceless, perfect. So this is the definition of salvation: preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, and loss. And that was the car. But theologically speaking, in God's eyes, when we're speaking about God, salvation is a deliverance from sin and its consequences through faith in Christ. So we once were dead, ruined, looking like that old rusted car, and through Christ, we have been made brand new. I want to clarify something, though. As I was thinking of saying this message to you, I actually feel like the old car a lot of the time. But even if you do feel like that and you think that's the truth, in God's eyes, it's not true. Through Christ, you have been made new, even though you feel like a rusty car sometimes. So now that we've seen the first point, Jesus, does it have a little bit more power than when you first, when I came, what does Jesus mean? He was specifically called Jesus for a reason, because his name has deep meaning for you and I. That he has saved us. He's brought us back from death to life. So let's continue with who is born. What's the second one, Riley? Do you remember? Well done. Christ. What does Christ mean? Talk amongst yourselves. What do you think Christ means? No phones. What does Christ mean? I'll give you a clue. It also the same word as Messiah. It's the same word. What does Messiah mean? What does Christ mean? Jenny, you're giving a very puzzled look. You got it, Ken? Okay. If you said king, well done. It's not exactly right, but it's very close. It is right, but to be more specific, the anointed one or the chosen one is more accurate. So let's go to our verses now. So we're looking at, start with verse 18. The word Messiah or Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. So there's a clue what Messiah is. It's showing David. Now, is King David Joseph's father? No. But it's showing us a genealogy, an ancestry, a lineage. He's a descendant. And if we go back to the start of the chapter, it says this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We go to verse 16. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. That word keeps coming up, Messiah keeps coming up, the son of David, the son of Abraham. There's this line. Do you think Jesus was the only one to be called Messiah? What do you think, yes or no? No. Every king was anointed with oil. Every king was called Messiah. If you go to 1 Samuel 10, you'll see Saul was anointed with oil, and David was anointed in oil, every king after that. So what's the difference between these guys and Jesus? Jesus is the promised Messiah to come. We go to Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 61, and there are other passages that you can come and see me later. Edwina, I'll be here. And I'm happy to show you passages which talk about the real king, the real Messiah. And if we go back to Luke and have a look at what Gabriel says to Mary in Luke 132, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So this Messiah, Christ, that was predicted to come is actually a king with an everlasting kingdom. He's the anointed one with an everlasting kingdom. Now, when we think of the word Messiah or Christ, does that now have a deeper meaning for you than when we just say Jesus Christ? We actually understand the depth behind that word. So I'm thinking we can try something new and we can change the world. You want to change the world? Let's change the name. Instead of Christmas, let's call it Mary Anointed One Everlasting Kingmas. What do you think? Should we change it from now on when we see each other? That sounds better, doesn't it? It gives a new meaning of Christ. It's actually defined. Can we do that from now on? Too long, okay. But it gives us a deeper meaning. So we've done Jesus, we've done Christ, and what's our third one? Sins. Verse 21, he will give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, this is an important one, and I want to show you a little video we can watch, which is going to explain to us a little bit about sin. So if I can get it up.
Next. File, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
All right. So we see, if we can go back to the screen, he will save us from our sins. So every single one of us sin on a daily basis. And as we saw in the video, our good works can't replace our bad deeds, that only through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross that we can be forgiven. And we see the first word of Jesus. We see that Jesus is our salvation. He brings us back from old to new. We see Messiah or Christ, that he's an everlasting king, that he's going to be with us forever. And also we see in Matthew 9:2, Jesus himself, when he's lowering the paralytic, he says, your sins are forgiven. So he even shows himself that he can forgive sins. So that's our third point. And who is born for the last point? And what one is that? Emmanuel. Okay. This is my favorite point. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This comes from Isaiah 7:14. And at that time, they were going through a lot of struggles, and they were predicting, as it says in the passage, a virgin will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and that's going to be God with us. So who was actually born on this earth? It was God the Son was born. And that's my favorite point, to know that God himself, the creator, became creation. That God himself had come to this earth to help us. And he was with them at the time. And why I love this passage is because I know God is with us now still. When Jesus left, he says, I won't leave you alone. And he sent God the Spirit. And the God the Spirit lives in every single Christian. Why? Because in God's eyes, we aren't like the old rusty car. We are a brand new car. We are perfect in God's eyes. Therefore, he will dwell in us. And we all go through struggles. I couldn't tell you the struggles I've gone through this year, and you've probably gone through just as many or maybe even more. And many times we feel like God isn't with us, that we're alone, that we're struggling, that life is tough. Do you feel like that a lot of the time? And even though you try and put it away, it just keeps plaguing you. Problem after problem arises. But this Emmanuel, this passage reminds me, reminds us all, that God is with us. He was with us on the day of when Jesus was born, and he's still with us today. And that's what keeps us going. It gives us comfort. So I really like this last point, that God is with us, and that's who was born, God the Son, and God the Spirit is with us. So as I finish, I took a survey, and I asked my neighbors and friends, Christians, non-Christians, I said, what do you love about Christmas, or Anointed One, Everlasting Kingmas, whatever you want to call it? and Christmas tree, Santa Claus, holidays, summer, food, carols, decorations. Presents came up mostly from kids. That was my brother's kids, mainly. And adults usually say family, and friends is also the last one. So I was thinking to myself, I've got yeses all here. Do non-Christians and Christians celebrate all that as well? And my answer was Christmas tree, Santa Claus, holidays, summer, food, carols. Yes. But as Christians, aren't we supposed to be a little bit different? All this is great, and every single one of this part I've celebrated, and I think it's great. But I think today, as Christians, shouldn't it be a little bit more than just what everyone is celebrating? Shouldn't it be a deeper meaning for us than having all this fun? So I've got another list, and I just want to finish off with this last list for you guys. The point is, who is born? And that's what we're thinking about. Who is born? What about this one? Do you like my list? Happy birthday, Jesus. 2, the King of the universe was born. True and ultimate love was born. The destroyer of Satan was born. God incarnate was born. The sin and death defeater was born. The ultimate reconciler was born. The creator of us all was born. The savior of the world was born. And lastly, the Son of the living God was born. Take a photo of that screen. Take it around with you today on Christmas Day and just remember who is born. And that's what we focus on today. All the other stuff is fun, sure. I'm going to go now and have dinner and we're going to sing carols and be with family and friends. But don't forget the true meaning of today. And that's who is born. And that's our Savior. That's Jesus Christ who takes away our sins and is with us all the time. So let me just finish off with prayer. Father, we thank you for today. There are many people, Father, who don't know you, who just think this is another day. It's a Monday, it's 25th of December. They really don't understand, Father, the significance of today. Help them to reflect on who is born and the significance of who is born and to understand that we need you, Father. We need your Son. We need to recognize and understand that it's only through your Son can we have life. It's only through your Son that we can go from a rusty old broken car to a brand new car, an everlasting car that's going to be with you in heaven forever. So help us to remember that, Father, and help us to have a fantastic day today. Amen.